And so that's why we read this verse. If you look at your notes, Jesus is the only one who brings true spiritual deliverance. It says here, neither is there salvation, deliverance, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of A Savior is Born. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Savior is Born.
As we come today, I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and it's in verse 8 that we want to begin our reading today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want to focus on verse 11, where it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we want to deal with this idea of Savior. A Savior is born. You know, what does that mean? You know, that's something that is proclaimed throughout the world. A Savior is born. But how do you interpret that? How do we internalize the fact that a Savior is born? If you look at your notes this morning, you will see that the first thing that we talk about is the birth of the Savior. So I have read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and we see that this is where the angel appears to the shepherds in the field who are watching their flock to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. But what does it mean when we talk about a Savior? What does it mean when we talk about a Savior? So, again, this morning, I want us to look at this verse unlike any other time that we've looked at it before, and kind of break it down and ruminate on it and really understand the significance of what this verse is saying. The word Savior comes from the Greek word soter, and here it refers to the one who delivers, or the one who saves, or the one who rescues. So when we talk about a Savior, what we're actually talking about is a deliverer. All right? So I mean, you know, we have this concept of Savior and what Savior might mean, but I think it brings a little bit closer to home when we're talking about this idea of a deliverer and somebody that delivers. There's a song that I think of that is a perfect picture of deliverance. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. So what did I need when I was a 21-year-old college student out there in the world, doing my thing, living it up, involved in every kind of sin that you can think of. What did I need? I needed somebody, what? That was going to come and was going to be able to deliver me out of that morass of sin. I needed somebody that was a deliverer that was going to pull me out. And so when it says that the Savior is born, what it's talking about is a deliverer is born. And as we talk about this idea of deliverance, we see that we had a need for deliverance. And God realized that we had a need. I found this years ago, and I pulled it out for this occasion. And it says, our greatest need, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness. And so God sent a deliverer. God sent a Savior. Now just think about this, that God, who is all-knowing, who knows the beginning from the end, and as he looked down at us and he said, I see the need that they have, and I'm going to send someone down to meet that need. And he sent Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, to be the Savior or be the deliverer of the world. If you look at your notes this morning, it's hard to get a person to see the need for a Savior or a deliverer if they do not think they need to be delivered from anything. For example, you can't convince a drowning man that he needs to be saved if he doesn't think he's drowning. You know, what in the world do I need to be saved from? I'm not drowning. So that person must first be convinced that they are drowning and that they are helpless to do anything to save themselves, and then they call out unto the Lord. There are many people who do not think they need a spiritual Savior. And so there must be an awareness that you need a spiritual Savior. That we've all heard the expression in the story, the emperor has no clothes. And the story goes like this, that there were two swindlers who came to the emperor and convinced him, you know, that he'd take off all his clothes and that they were going to make a suit for him. And that they made this suit for the emperor, and they told the emperor that the only ones who could see this suit were the elite in the upper class. And so that just fed into his ego, because he already had a big ego. So it stroked it even more for him to realize that he had a suit that only the elite and the upper class could see. And so the emperor went throughout the kingdom thinking that he had a suit, thinking that he was clothed, but yet and still, to everybody else, he was naked. But nobody wanted to point that out to the emperor. You know, why is that? Because, you know, risk offending him. And so everybody saw that he was naked, but they acted like he had clothes. And as he walked out one day in the crowd, there was a little boy that shouted out, "The emperor has no clothes." And we look at that story and we see the reality of mankind. The fact that there are many people that are walking around in their sin. They are walking around steeped in wickedness and evil, and that they don't even realize that they are in it. And they don't realize that they need a Savior. Just like the emperor didn't realize he needed clothes, there are many people who realize that they don't realize that they need a Savior. So that's why Jesus came. He came because he saw the need for people to have a deliverer. And when we come and think about this deliverance, that there also, if you go to the next slide, there also has to be a what? Not only the acknowledgement that you need deliverance, but there has to be a willingness to accept the deliverance. That there's a lot of people that they know that there's deliverance out there, but they are doing their own thing. They are going their own way. And let me say this, for some people, God has to stop them in their tracks in order for them to find out that they need a deliverer. Week before last, my wife and I went to pick up our grandkids in Washington, D.C. And so we drove down to pick them up, and we came back, and we stopped at the halfway point, everybody's halfway point stop. Y'all know what it is. What is it? Breezewood, right? Right. We stopped at Breezewood. And so we had taken the kids in to use the bathroom and, you know, get them some, you know, snacks and stuff like that. And then we got back in the car, and we were sitting in the car, and I was trying to figure out, I had my phone, and I was trying to figure out the Bluetooth in there, and, you know, it wasn't connecting. And while I was sitting there, there was two young ladies that were coming out and getting into their car next to ours. And the one young lady just opened the door, boom, and it hit right into our car. And they started laughing. And got in the car and was pulling out. And I said, I know they're not. They was pulling out. And just fortunately, there was a car at the gas pump behind them that was coming, so they had to stop. And I got out of my car, and I don't have my phone this morning with me. I got out of the car, and they were about right there. And I stood right here, and I held my phone like that, and their license plate was right on front. And as soon as I snapped the picture, they stopped. And the young lady got out, or she said, "Did we do any damage to your car?" And so I went over there, and I just wanted them to stop. But I looked, and I, you know, wiped off the dust, and they didn't do any damage to it. But I was thinking that they weren't going to stop. They were going to keep going, and they were going to laugh about it. But until I got my phone out and pointed it at their vehicle and took a picture of their license plate, that's when they stopped. And you know, it's going to be like that for some people, that they don't think that they need deliverance. But, you know, one day God is going to stop you. You know, and it's, you can pain now. See, they could have came, and all we basically were looking for was for somebody in the car to say, "Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry that I bumped your car like that. Did I do any damage?" They got in the car and laughed. So I was just looking for somebody to apologize. I mean, if they did some damage, you know, we was going to deal with that too now. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, but I had to stop and take the phone and take a picture in order for them to stop. So they could have stopped on their own and came over and checked it out, but they didn't do that. And just think about, that's the way it is, you know, with this deliverance. That you can stop and you can pray and you can ask Jesus to come and be your deliverer. Or one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to face the judgment. And so God has so graciously provided for us a deliverer. And we need to see that there is a need for deliverance, and we have to have a willingness to accept the deliverance. So the next thing I want to say on this Christmas Eve is that Jesus is the only one that can bring deliverance. Okay, I didn't know how this slide was going to show up, so I'll just explain it to you. Okay, on the top slide, and I know it's hard to see. I apologize for that. At the top of the slide, there's a man standing on one side, and there's a great gap, and then God is on the other side. But there is a chasm between the two entities. And the man is standing over there, and he's trying to figure out how to get across. And so he uses good works to try to get across. But guess what? That brings him up short, and he falls all the way down. He tries to use religion to get across, but that causes him to come up short, and he falls all the way down. He goes on. He tries to use the law to get across. And you remember that James said, if you keep the whole law and you violate it in one point, that you are guilty of it all. And so he tries to use the law to get across, but he can't get across. And at the very bottom, there's a cross that connects both sides. And Jesus is the only way across. And so that's why we read this verse. If you look at your notes, Jesus is the only one who brings true spiritual deliverance. It says here, neither is there salvation, deliverance, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's no other way. Now somebody said, well, Pastor Glaze, that's pretty narrow. Are you saying that Jesus is the only way? And I'm saying, yes, he is. And that's about as narrow as this book right here. You know, it is pretty narrow. He is the only way. And the fact is, Muhammad, the name of Muhammad will not deliver you from sin. The name of Buddha will not deliver you from sin. The name of Joseph Smith will not deliver you from sin. Deliverance is only found in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. And I said this in front of a group of Presbyterians, and they started shouting. All other rocks are sham rocks. All other rocks are sham rocks. You know what a sham rock is? It's something that appears, you know, that it's substantial and that you can stand on it, but when you step on it, guess what? It kind of folds and whatever's on top of it just kind of, it crumbles under it, right? And so the song said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. He's the only rock that you can stand on. All other rocks are sham rocks, you know, yet you're going to fall in. So if you're trying to stand on any other rock, you're standing on sinking sand. And I think about Jesus who brings deliverance. And I had this thought that heroes, those cartoon heroes that bring deliverance, they all had a slogan before they brought deliverance, right? Mighty Mouse, here I come to save the day. He had a slogan before he got ready to what? Before he got ready to deliver. Before he showed up and got ready to deliver. Superman had a slogan before he got ready to deliver. Up, up, and away, right? Mighty Mouse, well, we already did Mighty Mouse. Batman had a slogan when he got ready to deliver. Robin, to the Batmobile. The Thing from the Fantastic Four. He had a slogan before he got ready to deliver. It's clobbering time. The Lone Ranger had a theme before he got ready to deliver. Hi-ho, Silver, away. And my favorite one, Underdog. He had a saying before he got ready to deliver. When Polly is in trouble, I am not slow. It's hip, 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 and away I go. And all these superheroes, when they got ready to deliver, they had a theme that they would repeat. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's a superhero, more than a superhero. And when he got ready to deliver, his deliverance saying as he hung there on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. And when he said it is finished, that means that we have been delivered. That word, it is finished, that phrase comes from the Greek, tetelestai. And it means, somebody tell me, a little bit louder. There you go. Paid in full. Paid in full. When did Jesus pay for our deliverance? Yeah, we know about the resurrection, but the resurrection was the capstone. But when did Jesus pay for our deliverance? When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. Now, I might make some of y'all upset this morning, but he didn't have to go to hell for 3 days and have the devil beat him up and have hell torture him for 3 days. No, when he died on that cross, that's why we sing the song, the old rugged cross. We don't sing the old rugged hell. We sing the old rugged cross. Why? Because he paid for our redemption on the cross. And his slogan, his saying, our superhero, it is finished. It is finished. That your salvation was secured when he died on the cross. And that leads me to my last point, this Christmas Eve, as we come to celebrate the birth of our Lord. And that is, Jesus is the only one who can deliver a person safely into the hands of God. He is the only one that can deliver a person safely into the hands of God. That word Savior means deliverer. A deliverer is born. A Savior is born. If you look at your notes as we close out this morning, neither is there salvation or deliverance in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The word salvation in the classical Greek was used to speak of a man's safe return home after a long journey. The believer's salvation is like a package, and Jesus is the deliverer. And Jesus has a 100% guaranteed delivery record every time, if you trust him, that he will deliver you into the portals of heaven. If you put up that last slide. This right here is the James Farley Post Office in New York City. And there is a motto inscribed. You can't see it there, but it's right above those columns. There is a motto inscribed that says this: neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from swift completion of their appointed rounds. Well, we know that that's not true. We know that's not true. I hope that none of y'all waiting for a package today that you expect to give as a Christmas gift tomorrow. Because you're going to be putting an envelope in there and say, I'll see you Tuesday. So we know. I mean, you know, thank God for the post office, right? I mean, it is. You know, they do deliver. So we thank God that they deliver. But, you know, here is a organization that cannot 100% of the time keep up with their motto. Can't do it. But we have a Savior who delivers, and his delivery rate is 100%. And he never fails to deliver those who trust in him. And so when the angel said to the shepherds, a Savior is born, we realize that it was a deliverer that was born. Father, we thank you for our great deliverer, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross. But before he died on a cross, he was born in a manger. And Lord, he was our superhero, and he is our superhero. And we thank you that his slogan is, it is finished. And Lord, it is finished meant that we were delivered from all the evil, all the sin, all the things that would seek to take us down, that we were delivered. And so we thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Savior is Born. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Savior is Born, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Savior is Born. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Savior is Born, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.